Good morning. Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ child was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judea, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judea, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people of Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you have found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went and looked. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chest and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own countries by another route. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for reading that. I'm going to try really hard. No, I'm still not on. All right, we'll wait. How about now? Maybe? Can y'all hear me? You can hear me. I don't know that they can hear me online. Teresa says yes, she's nodding. Okay, I'm going to try really hard to not trip. I'm not used to preaching with all this stuff. So don't laugh too hard if I trip, okay? But I tend to move around a lot as I walk, if in case you don't know that, as I talk and walk. So the question this morning, the first question is, have you ever gone to see a new baby? Yeah, right? Most of us have. When my cousin Lauren was born, most of you know Lauren, she's grown up in this church here in Council Bluffs. I was in college at Maryville, Missouri, at Northwest Missouri State University, and one of my friends and I decided we should make the 2.5-hour drive to come see her. And I don't know why we decided to come see her. She was not the first cousin born. She was not the last cousin born. But we thought we needed to come see the new baby in the hospital. And if I remember correctly, we drove here and back in one day, and I think we had classes in the morning, and still came over and came back. But you know the crazy things you do when you're in college, right? To see the new baby. My mom tells me that when I was born, everyone came to see me on a Sunday because that's when I was supposed to be born. But did I ever surprise them? I didn't show up until Tuesday. At that time, my aunt and uncle and my two cousins lived in El Paso, Texas, and my preteen cousin wanted to come home right away to see the new baby. And my aunt told her they couldn't make the two-day, 18-hour drive because they were moving back to Iowa in a few months anyway, and she could see me then. But we show up when we're expecting new babies, right? That's what we do. It's exciting. We plan for them. Sometimes we even drive or fly long distances to see them. Whether they're friends or families, new little people are joys, right? They bring excitement. And while we don't really think Jesus was a baby when the wise men show up, we show up for toddlers and kids' birthday parties too, right? I love going to birthday parties of little people. They're a lot of fun. They're maybe not quite the same priority as when they're born, but we usually show up for the little people that are important to us, right? Grandkids, nieces, nephews, those sorts of things. But those are people we know, right? Usually friends or family. They're not usually strangers. I asked my mom the other night on the phone, because she knew I was preparing for this sermon, if she's ever shown up to a strange baby's birth. It was on the phone, so I couldn't see her facial reaction, but she didn't hesitate. She just said, "I don't think so, Shannon." These three wise men guys, magi, magicians, whatever we want to call them, not only showed up, but they traveled long distances to see this baby or toddler, and they didn't even know him. Furthermore, they weren't even Jewish. This wasn't a new church baby that they were welcoming and celebrating. I'm guessing they didn't even get the baby announcement. Do people still do that? Do they send out baby announcements? Maybe? Okay, maybe. So if three guys did this today, showed up to see a strange baby or toddler, let's be honest, we might think it's a little creepy, right? Jesus wasn't even a royal birth. I mean, it isn't like the royals of England where the births are a big deal and they get photographed on the steps in the hospital or of the hospital to introduce the new little one. There weren't any photographers or reporters showing up to talk about this kid. I mean, he was born in a barn. This was not a big deal, you guys. So these three weird guys spend a lot of time and money to travel a long distance to see this little person they don't know. Slightly weird and creepy, but it gets better. They bring gifts. Now, this isn't the onesies or the pack of diapers you might give at a baby shower. It isn't even the diaper genie or the fancy latest model stroller. It's bigger and, again, weirder. They bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They apparently didn't attend a lot of baby showers, huh? You think they packed the whole gifts along the way, or did they pick them up along the way, like at a stop or a shop? These are things I look at and wonder about. Would I really sit down to study scripture? Seriously, though, guys, if we put this in today's context, it isn't exactly the beautiful, picturesque scene we see at the manger or the peaceful song we sang this morning of we three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, is it? It's a little different if we really examine it. We've made it into this little neat story that fits nicely in a song and in the manger scene. But it was pretty unorthodox, even for that time. Have any of you seen the movie The Best Christmas Pageant Ever? Or maybe read the book? Yeah, there's a few nods. Well, I'll try and give you a summary, but I'm not great at summaries. I'll preface that. I read the book last Christmas on my mom's recommendation, but I didn't get around to watching the movie until the other day. The story is hilarious and heartwarming, both. It's about a family of six child siblings, the Herdmans, who were the town terrors. They get into trouble at school, outside of the classroom, and they're just plain bullies. They end up at church one day when one of the kids they've bullied tells them that he gets all the snacks and desserts he wants at church, never dreaming they would dare to step foot in a church. But they do. And they happen to show up at church around the time of the famous Christmas pageant. They bully their way into all the lead parts: Mary, Joseph, the angel, and the three wise men, all six of them. Along the way, they have a lot of questions about Herod and baby Jesus and the whole Christmas story because they have never heard it before. And while they're interested in the story, in true Herdman fashion, all the rehearsals are a disaster. They sword fight with the shepherd's hooks. They smoke cigars in the church bathroom. By the evening of the Christmas pageant, they haven't made it through a proper dress rehearsal or even any rehearsal all the way through. Beth is the narrator of the story, and her mom is directing the pageant for the first time ever. The night before the Christmas pageant, Beth says to her mom, "Is it still too late to replace them?" Her mother pauses and then says, "Don't forget, the whole point of the story is that Jesus was born for the Herdmans as much as he was for us. We'd be missing the point of all of it if we turned them away." "But what if they ruin it for you?" Beth says. Her mother responds, "They probably will, but it's not about me." Ah, maybe that is our epiphany, our truth and our revelation on this Epiphany Sunday. It's not about us. Did you know the Magi aren't mentioned in any of the other Gospels? They aren't mentioned in Mark, Luke, or John, just Matthew. Did you also know that by the time the Gospel of Matthew was written, Matthew's community consisted of both Jews and Gentiles? But the shift was considerably going towards Gentiles, the outsiders, in other words, right? The unclean people. Matthew wants us to know that this little baby came for everybody, even the weird outsiders who don't know how to give proper baby gifts or who have never heard the Christmas story. Our most insider story, our Christmas story, the very birth of Jesus, the one we come together to celebrate every Sunday, right, is invaded by outsiders. Not only that, but those outsiders have become an integral part of our story. The wise men, wherever they came from, were the first Gentile believers, and they were also the first people recorded to pay homage to Jesus. The Bible doesn't even really say that the shepherds worshiped Jesus, if you go back and read it. It might say so in some of our Christmas hymns and different things, but it doesn't actually say so in the Bible. The wise men were the first people to worship Jesus. They were humble enough to stop and ask for directions, for starters. Maybe that's how they got their title, wise men. You got the joke. Good job. And then when they found Jesus and saw him, they humbly bowed before a toddler who had done nothing remarkable up until this point, other than be born and exist. Nearly from the moment that Jesus was born, it was apparent that he showed up for everybody, not just the Jewish community, not just the ones who knew the churchy words or knew the right way to act or dress. From the very, very beginning, this baby broke molds and boundaries and invited the least of these, a foreshadowing, as you know, for the rest of his life. And though he was labeled King of Jews, that's not really what he was at all. Jesus talked more about a kingdom than a kingdom. Have you heard about the kingdom word? It's K-I-N-D-O-M with no G. Because we've talked about kingdoms at Broadway. We've talked about empires and how empires are not the promised land. Kingdoms are authority and hierarchy. They're ruling from on high. And we know that our hope can't be in kingdoms or empires or legislative systems. Our hope is in Jesus. And yet Jesus didn't come as a ruling king that so many hoped he would. He didn't rule from on high or come with any military force, much to the dismay of the Jewish people. Instead, he came with more of a kingdom mindset. And we're going to be talking more about kingdom mindsets in the coming weeks. But kingdoms are more about inclusivity and community. They're more about equality and justice, compassion, grace, and relationships. Kingdoms are more about love above all else. Sound familiar? In a kingdom, all are invited and welcome. You were wondering how this was going to tie back into the wise men, right? If Jesus came for all, even from his very beginnings, and we're going to live as the Christians that God intended us to, that means all are welcome. It means even those that might not have the right gifts or might look a little strange to us, they're welcome. It means that things might change when outsiders enter our church. It means that traditions might change. Or maybe it means that we insiders need to go outside the walls of our church and let people know that Jesus came for them. All Jesus did was show up in human flesh, and it set in motion a journey that would change the world because Gentiles began to worship him. When Jesus shows up, things change. Traditions change. And we might have to do things differently. So, church, the real question this morning is, are you ready? Don't forget, the whole point of the story is that Jesus was born for the others as much as he was for us. And we'd be missing the point of it all if we turned them away. And what if they ruin it for us? They probably will. But it's not about us. It's about the others. even those who look different, those who have different traditions that we don't understand, those we might not agree with, those we might not even like, maybe even those we find it hard to tolerate. We make a big deal out of the coming of a baby Jesus at Christmas time. We prepare for this thing for weeks, if not months. But it's just the beginning of the story and the journey. For now, the real work begins. Because Jesus showed up and changed the world for all of us. Are you ready for what that means? Thanks be to God. Amen.